Okay, we're starting here on the bottom of Chavav and Bet. The Gemara is addressing what the Mishnah said about Tefsheit V'nituach, that Tefsheit V'nituach seems to be permissible with the Zar. Zev Zeh Shavin, they're both the same, both Korban HaTzibur and Korban HaYachid have the same din with regards to Tefsheit V'nituach. And the Gemara says, Tanei V'sheitan V'nituchan Shavin B'Zar. Everybody agrees that a Zar can do this. You don't need a Kohen to do the Hefshet V'nituach. So the Gemara wants to understand, basically, where do we know this from? How do we know that a Zar is allowed to do both of these items? The Kohanim are required to put the Eish on the Mizbeach. They are not required for Hefshet and Nituach. The Gemara will now work through this. How does this exactly work? As a little bit of background, in the beginning of Sefer Torat Kohanim, Sefer Vayikra, the first paragraph of Vayikra, the first paragraph of Vayikra, deals with the Korban Ha'olah. The Korban Ha'olah that is mentioned there is a Korban Olat Nidava of a Behema. There, the Parshiot involve two sets of animals. There's Ben HaBakar, which are the larger animals. And then there's the tzon, which is the keves and the eis. So those are the two parshiot. There are two repeated parshiot there, one for the ben bakar and one for the tzon. There, the Torah specifies in a number of locations that the kohanim have to be involved in this process, that they are the ones who do the avodah. The question is, where do the kohanim have to be involved and where they do not have to be involved? Some of this we've learned before. Other times, the Gemara says, okay, the word B'nai Aron or Kohanim is mentioned here numerous times. What are we going to do with each of these Kohanim or B'nai Aron or Kohain? So the Parsha begins, Im Allah Korbano Min HaBakar, Zachar Tamim Yakribenu, Petach Omeid Yakribu Otol Ritzono Lifnei Hashem. So if he wants to bring a Ben HaBakar, he brings it to the Petach Omeid, and then, B'samach Yado Arosh HaOlah. He places his hands onto the Olah. So he has to do Smicha. It's clear here who's doing the Smicha. It's the Baalim, because Benir Tzalo, the Chaper Alav. It's the person who's bringing it, person who requires Kapara, he puts Smichat Yado, he places his hands on the animal. Then, the next Pasuk begins, Vishachatet Ben HaBakar Lifnei Hashem. You do Shchita Lifnei Hashem. And then the Pasuk continues, Vikrivu Bnei Aron HaKohanim et Adam, Vizarku et Adam al Mizbech Saviv, Asher Petachu Moed. What's clear from here is, Vikrivu Bnei Aron HaKohanim et Adam, that Hakravah, which the Gemara Darshan says, Holacha, taking the dam and Kabbalat Adam, require Kohanim. So now you have the Samach Yado, the Smicha is by the Baalim, the Hakrava, or the Kabbalat Adam and Holachat Adam require Kohanim. What about V'shachat Ben HaBakar, which sits between them? So the Gemara and other places in here again will Darshan that, V'hikrivu B'nei Aron HaKohanim Et Adam, is that, Mikabbalah Ve'elech is Mitzvat Kehuna. Only from Kabbalah and onwards do you require Kohanim. That means that the Shachate Ben HaBakar is referencing the previous Pasuk of the Samach Yado. So the Samach Yado is by the Baalim, so the Shachat is also the Baalim. And that means that a Zar can do Shchita. That's the Gemara's conclusion. We're going to see that in 1 second. Now, once I've done that, I say anything from Kabbalah and onwards requires a Kohen. Then the Parsha, numerous times, mentions Kohanim again, again and again and again. The Gemara wants to know, why does the Parsha keep mentioning Kohanim, if I already know Mikabah Valilech is done by Kohanim? So in each of those instances, the Gemara is going to have to come up with a reason why Kohanim are mentioned, and they're mentioned numerous times here, as well as in the subsequent Parsha. So now, we're going to go through each of those series. In between, you find V'ifshit et olav nitachut al nitachel, which is Avshet and Nituach. But there, the word Kohen is not specified, but why would you need it to be specified? Because it's after Kabbalat Adam. If it's after Kabbalat Adam, then it automatically should require Kohanim. So that's what the Gemara wants to understand. How is it possible here that if Shein Nituach do not require Kohanim, if Mikabbalah Ve'elech do require Kohanim? So the Gemara has to find a miut. So the Gemara found a miut, which is V'natnu B'nei Aron Kohen Eish Ala Mizbeach, which is in Pasuk Zayin, subsequent to V'hivshita To'olav Nitach Nitach Nitach, it says V'natnu B'nei Aron Kohen Eish Ala Mizbeach, V'achu Eitzim Ala Eish. So there it says that they have to, B'nei Aron have to put the Eish on the Mizbeach. Well, why do we need them to put the Eish on the Mizbeach if we already know Mikabbalah Ve'elech is Mitzvat Kohanim? So the Gemara says, it's come to teach you that Eish requires Kohanim, Hefshet V'nituach does not require Kohanim. Now the Gemara says, Hami Baile the Gufei. You can't use that pasuk in that manner because I need it for itself. So Amar Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, Ashkachte Le'abayi, Dave Misaver Le'Lebrei. I have found a Abaye explaining to his son this Mishnah, which is Bishachat, Shkita Bizar Shira, which is what we discussed already, that Shkita Bizar Shira, Bichi Ma'ayin Bat. Where are you coming from? What's the background? What's the framework that you are dealing with? Bichlal Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Ve'ata Uvanecha Itecha, Tishmru Et Kunatchem, the most important part of the Pasuk is missing here, Bechol Devar HaMizbeach, which is for anything to do with the Mizbeach, then the Kohanim are required. Shomea ani afkilu shchita. Well, if it has to do with Dvar HaMizbeach, that means shchita should also require Kohanim. That's Dvar HaMizbeach. We're talking about a korban that's going to go on the Mizbeach. Tamalomar b'shachat et ben avakar lifnei Hashem, v'ikrivu b'nei Aron ha-Kohanim et Adam. Kabbalah ve'elech mitzvat kehuna. So that's what we saw before, this drasha that's brought down many times, which is that from Kabbalah ve'elech is the mitzvat kehuna. Prior to that, you do not require Kohanim. That means obviously the smicha is done by the balim, but also the shchita can be done by the balim. So now, v'samach yado v'shachat, which we said before, the v'shachat does have a vav in front of it, which is mechaberet to the previous pasuk of v'samach yado, which teaches l'mid al shchita shkshira b'zar, that the v'shachat references back to the previous pasuk of samach, and so just like the smicha is done by the balim, so too the shchita can be done by the balim or by zarim. Michte, mikabala ve'elech mitzvat kehuna. So michte is, that's the Mishnah that we're quoting. Now Abaye is explaining to his son, how do we learn this from the Mishnah, which is, mikabala ve'elech mitzvat kehuna, v'natnu bnei Aron, which is the pasuk we quoted for, eish al mizbeach, lomali. What do I need that pasuk for? Lim'ute hefshet v'nituach. That comes to exclude hefshet v'nituach, because why do I need to tell me about Kohanim if I know Kohanim have to be involved in everything from mikabala ve'elech? That means that v'natnu bnei Aron ha-Kohen eish al mizbeach is extraneous in mentioning Kohanim. If it's extraneous in mentioning Kohanim, it must be l'mayet to exclude something else. Well, where don't we have bnei Aron Kohen mentioned? That's by hefshet and nituach. Bakate itzrich. I still need that pasuk for itself. Saka dat chamina came into lav avoda d'ma'akva kaparahi. Putting the eish al mizbeach is not an avoda that stops the kapara from happening. It's not a integral part of the kapara. So lotzi ba'i kehuna. So the thought process would be that you don't require kohanim for that part of the process. Kamash malon d'ba'i kehuna. Then it tells me that you do need kohanim. Well, if that's the case, now natnu bnei Aron eish al mizbeach is not extraneous, and I can't exclude hefshet mintuach. And that was the Gemara's question before. Hami ba'i le gufei. We need it for itself. Ela mihalcha. We're going to learn it out from here, which is the subsequent pasuk, which is v'achu bnei Aron kohanim et tefachim et rosh ha'dapader. So there, you already have, after you put the fire on, they have to put the pieces onto the fire, the pyre that is on the mizbeach, and the maracha that's on the mizbeach. Michde, mikabala ve'elech mitzvat guna, you have the same question. If mikabala ve'elech is a mitzvat guna, v'achu, lomali. What do I need v'achu for? Or achu b'nei Aron ha-Kohanim et tetachim. That's really the extraneous part, is the b'nei Aron ha-Kohanim. It must be to exclude hefshet v'nituach. Mar says, well, why did you pick that? Why don't you say it's to exclude the placing of the two etzim on the mizbeach? You remember yesterday we spoke about the sidur shnei gizrei etzim. One's by Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, where there it had to be done separately by the two kohanim, because over here it says v'archu, first of all in plural, it says archu over here, and the pasuk says v'archu etzim al ha'esh. So there we knew that Ben Arabayim it required two Kohanim. In the Boker, we had Uvier Alea Kohen, Baboker Baboker. So there, we said in the morning, it also requires two Gizrei Tzim, just doesn't require two Kohanim. And we said, as far as the pious is concerned, it was subsumed under the pious of Trumat Adeshin. That again will become important later on in the Daf. So the Gemara says, well, if you look at the Pasuk, it says, V'nu Ben Aron Kohen Ish Al Mizbeach. So that requires Ben Aron. Then it says, V'archu Etzim Al Eish. So that's the Sidur Shnei Gizrei Yetzim. So maybe over there, V'chu Yetzim Al-Esh doesn't require Kihuna. That might be the Miut. Just like by V'hivshit et ha'olam nitachu tam lintachea, the Kohanim are not mentioned. So those are your two options for saying that you do not require Kohanim over here. So I have to be Ma'et something. I could either be Ma'et Hefshet Nituach, that doesn't have Kohen mentioned by it, or I can be ma'et v'archu etzim al-eish, which also does not have Kohanim mentioned by it. V'natnu b'nei Aron ha-Kohen eish al-mizbeach is the first half of the pasuk that has Kohen mentioned by it. V'archu etzim al-eish doesn't mention Kohanim. Then the next pasuk begins, v'archu b'nei Aron ha-Kohen et ha-Tachim. So I have v'natnu b'nei Aron, Kohen, v'achu b'nei Aaron Kohen, in between v'achu etzim al eish. So maybe the miut here is not the hefshei v'nituach, which is the previous pasuk, but rather in between the two points of Kohen. So Gemara says, mistabra dibcha kavdichvatei mimayet. Makes more sense that it excludes something to do with the korban. Here, we're talking about korban. We're here, v'achu b'nei Aaron Kohen etendachim, we're talking about working with the korban. So it makes more sense that excluding something to do with the korban, like hefshei v'nituach, not shnei gizrei etzim. Gemara says, adrabah. Sidur dichvadei mimayet. The pasuk uses the same verb, which is v'achu b'nei Aaron Kohen etendachim, and the previous end of the pasuk is v'achu etzim al eish. So it makes more sense that it excludes that, the shnei gizrei etzim. So Mar says lo salka dafcha. That conclusion you would not come to, damar mar, because we have this limud, which is v'ikriv hakohen et hakol v'iktir hamizbecha. The word v'iktir is missing here. This is actually from the second part of the korban olah that's mentioned there in the parsha, which has to do with the tzon. Imin etzon kirbano, min ha'ksavim, umin ha'izim, lo'ula zachar tamim liyakriveno. At the end there it says, v'ikriv hakohen et hakol v'iktir hamizbecha. So why again, you have the same problem. Why do you need v'ikriv hakohen et hakol v'iktir hamizbecha? Zu hulachat evarim lekevesh. That teaches you have to take the evarim to the kevesh. And therefore, hulachat evarim lekevesh hu debayi kuhuna. It says, v'ikriv hakohen et hakol. Hikriv means hakrava, not literally placing it on the mizbeach, but moving it closer to the mizbeach. V'ikriv hakohen et hakol v'iktir hamizbecha. Then you place it on the mizbeach. Hulachat etzim lo bayi kuhuna. So again, you have the same question that you have to ask in all these cases. If mikabala ve'elech is mitzvat kuhuna, why do I have v'ikriv hakohen et hakol v'iktir hamizbecha? That the kohen should bring all the parts of the olah to the mizbeach and then put it on the mizbeach. Why do you have to tell me that? Of course it needs kohanim. So why do I have that? That comes to teach me that hakravat, the moving of the pieces of the olah closer to the mizbeach, requires kohanim. But etzim does not require kohanim. V'ikriv, meaning the bringing of the etzim to the mizbeach, does not require kohanim. Ha, sidur shnei gezitzim, b'vayi kuhuna. Then the sidur shnei gezitzim must require kuhuna. Because if the sidur shnei gezrei etzim does not require kuhuna, meaning putting the two logs of wood onto the mizbeach does not require kuhuna, why do I need a limud to tell me that taking the logs from the storehouse to the mizbeach does not require kohanim? If putting on the mizbeach, which is a much more significant avodah, does not require kohanim, then certainly taking it from the storehouse to the mizbeach does not require kohanim. The fact that I required a pasuk to tell me holachat evarim requires kuhuna, holachat etzim does not require kuhuna, means that I must have had a havamina that the bringing of the etzim requires kohen. Well, how would you have that havamina that it requires kohen? Only if for sure it required a kohanim to put it on the mizbeach. Then I would have thought maybe it requires kohanim to get it to the mizbeach. Along comes the pasuk and excludes it. But if you tell me sidur shnei gezrei etzim to start with does not require kuhuna, then why would you ever have a havamina that taking it to the mizbeach requires kohanim? And why would I need a separate pasuk to teach me no? So that's why the Gemara concludes it must be that sidur shnei gezrei etzim on the mizbeach requires kuhuna. Otherwise, this holy mood makes no sense. To tell me that I don't need to take it from the storehouse to the mizbeach does not require kohen. So now the Gemara says, v'archu lamali. Well, if that's the case, then what is the archu b'nei Aaron HaKohanim et HaTochim coming to teach me? Le'mutei hefshed minituach. So that'll be the extra kohen there. Now the Gemara moves on. We'll use the emendation of the gra here, which is, we'll leave out ve'ema hachanami the gufei, then we need this for its internal sense. We'll see in a second. The Gemara will use v'archu b'nei Aaron HaKohanim for something else. Ella, v'iktir hakohen et hakol l'mai ato. Now this is by the ben abakar. In the first parashia by the olah, it says, v'iktir hakohen et hakol hamizbecha. So that, with the kohen, what do you need that for? Basically, what the Gemara says is, I have the word kohen mentioned numerous times here. I want to know if mikabalav elech refers to kohanim, then what do I need the word kohen here so many times? And we actually now have come up with it, mentioned four times, when it seems to be completely unnecessary or superfluous. So the Gemara says, lemutei hefshet v'nituach. That will come to exclude hefshet v'nituach. So v'iktir hakohen et hakol mizbecha, that last pasuk in the parsha of the Ben Abakar, that will exclude hefshet v'nituach. Now, v'ikriv hakohen et hakol mizbecha, that pasuk that's found at the end of the parsha of the kvasim and the tzeron, what would that be used for? V'ikriv hakohen et hakol v'iktir mizbecha. That will use for zu halachat evarim the kevesh. That teaches you have to take the evarim to the kevesh requires a kohen. Halachat evarim the kevesh, udubayi kuhuna. Halachat etzim, lo bayi kuhuna. So we'll use that to teach you that the taking of the etzim from the storehouse to the mizbech does not require kohen. Ha, sidur shnei gezrei etzim, bayi kuhuna. Obviously, we don't need that, but that's obvious from the outcome from this is that placing the wood on the Mizbech does require a Kohen. Vinatnu. What about Vinatnu B'nei Aron Kohen Eishel Mizbech? That Lugufe. We already explained, because you would have had a Hava Mina, that doesn't require Kohen because it's not integral to the Kapara. Along comes the Pasuk and says, Vinatnu B'nei Aron Kohen Eishel Mizbech. Now, Varchu B'nei Aron Kohen Eishel Mizbech. What do we do with that? That's the only one we haven't explained now. Varchu Shnayim. Achu is in plural, that requires two. B'nei Aron is also B'nei in plural, means two, Shnayim. Hakolanim ishnaim, but manu l'tle shataun shisha. That teaches you that a tle requires six kohanim to put it on the mizbeach. Now we've already done a number of these things. We said the pais hasheni has 13 people involved with it. We had some permutations that had 14, but let's say 13. Four of them were the first four things: was the shchita, the zrika, the dishun mizbeach apnimi, the dishun ha-minorah. Then we had the nine that were involved in the korban itself. Within those nine, there are also a number of them that deal, one deals with the solet, one deals with the yayin. And so if you take the core five plus the kirbayim, habasar, that deals with the basar, which is the five, and the kirbayim and the innards, you have six kohanim that are actually involved directly with the korban ha-tamid. We learned that out of the pasuk here, that there are six kohanim involved in the processing of the korban. And the solit, the chavitin, and the yayin, those three are around the korban, but not the korban itself directly. So we learn this out of the pasuk. Baruchu b'nei Aron ha-kohanim, and that's what teaches you that you need six. The only little problem with this is, we just said here, you need these six kohanim for a tleh. That pasuk, as I mentioned to you before, is found, Baruchu b'nei Aron ha-kohanim, t'nechim, in the parsha of the Bakar, the Ben HaBakar. The Ben HaBakar is the first parsha. And that pasuk of Achu b'nei Aron ha-kohanim et ha-tachim is found in that parsha. So if you're telling me this is teaching me six kohanim by a tleh, tleh is found in the second parsha there. And this pasuk is found by Ben HaBakar. And that's what the Gemara is going to ask right now. L'man l'tleh shatun shisha, amar av honuna, kashaleh the Rabbi Elazar. Elazar had an issue with this, which is, hi Ben HaBakar k'tiv. That's written in the parsha of Ben HaBakar. Ben HaBakar is srim v'arba bayi. And we just had our mission, which says that a Ben HaBakar requires 24 people in it. At least 24. You can eliminate some of them, but you're still not going to get down to six people involved with the core korban ha-tamid. Mar says, v'nechle. Wait a minute. This entire pasuk is extraneous. And therefore, we're going to learn this out from it. Because previous pasuk says, v'nu b'nei Aron kohen esh al ha-mizbeach. They have to put the fire in the mizbeach. V'ruchu etzim al esh. They have to put wood on the fire. Yes, in the parsha of Ben HaBakar, this pasuk is extraneous because of what I just read to you. We have the kohanim putting the eish on the mizbeach, the kohanim putting the etzim on the mizbeach. Then the pasuk says, "Vachu b'nei Aron ha-kohanim etatachim et arosh v'tapader." You put the pieces on the mizbeach. Then al etzim ashel ha-eish ashel ha-mizbeach. What do I need that for? Of course, the etzim are on the eish on the mizbeach. We just said that in the previous pasuk that they put the eish, they put the etzim on the mizbeach. So why do I have to conclude the pasuk that I'm putting the tachim on the mizbeach, that's on the itzim ashel ha'esh ashel ha'mizbeach? That completely extraneous. V'ze'ezu davar shenemar bo itzim ish u'mizbeach. What is the item that requires itzim ish u'mizbeach? Avi omer ze tleh. That's the tleh. Now the tleh here doesn't mean any tleh, it means the tamid shel shachar. The tamid shel shachar comes from a keves. So that keves has to go on the itzim ashel ha'esh. Because the Tamid Shel Shachar is the first korban that goes on the Mizbeach. And therefore, any new pyre or etzim or esh that you put on the Mizbeach is simply a requirement for the Tamid Shel Shachar and no other korban. Every other korban will be placed afterwards on the Mizbeach with the Olah already there. So whatever is put on the Mizbeach in terms of pyres, in terms of esh, which we'll learn in the third perek, those are requirements for the korban Tamid Shel Shachar. Any korban subsequent to that has to have something diminished from it, because the fire's already burning, the wood's already burning. It's not going to be the first thing that's on that pyre. The first thing on the pyre is Tamid Shel Shachar. So when you say, El Etzim, Shel Eish, El Mizbeach, what is all this wood and all this fire on the Mizbeach for? It must be that it's a requirement, it's a prerequisite for the Tamid Shel Shachar. So that teaches me, El Etzim, Shel Eish, El Mizbeach is talking about the Tamid Shel Shachar. About that, it says, "Vachu b'nei Aron ha-kohanim et ha-netachim." So, referencing the Tamid Shel Shachar, which is not a bakar, it's a tleh, on that, the beginning of the pasuk says, "Vachu b'nei Aron ha-kohanim et ha-netachim," six people are involved. And that's how we get the limud, that six people are involved with the tleh, in the core part of the tleh, the korban tamid, as well as a korban olah that involves a tleh, they require six people. It's a strange thing. But because the entire pasuk is extraneous, they're going to take it out of context, which is, you're right, that parsha is olat nedava of a yachid,
Ben HaBakar,
is now going to be used for olat tzibur, chova, keves, It's the exact opposite.
The title of Korban Olah, everything is different.
Correct, correct. Between the common denominator between them is that they're an Olah. Other than that, they have nothing that's common between them. But here we have an extraneous pasuk, and the Gemara's darshing from Eli Yitzim HaShaleish HaShalem Mizbeach must be referencing something that requires that. What requires that? That's the Tamid Shel Shachar. Okay, now the Gemara says, Am Rab Asiyam Rab Yochanan Zar Shesider Tamaracha Chayav. Zar who fixes the maracha is Chayav Mita. Ketzad Hu Oseh. What do you do once, if he's done it, if he's put on the Sidur Yitzim, what do you do? Porka V'Chozer V'Sudra. You take it apart and he puts it back on. Gemara says, My Hanilei. What was the benefit? If he took it apart and put it back on, then the Zayar put it on in the first place. He took it apart and he put it back on. So what did he do for you? So the Gemara says, all right, Ela porka Zayar v'sodra Kohen. The Zayar takes it apart. If he put it on there, he takes it down, and then a Kohen puts it on, so you have it right. You can undo what he did. The Sidur Gezrei Yitzim can be taken off, and then you have a Kohen bring it back and put it on, so you can redo it. No, this is not in terms of undoing the onesh, but it's in terms of fixing up the mizbeach so they can do the korban tamid. The point is that you don't need a kohen to take it apart. The zaret smoke can take it apart. There's no chiyuv mita for disassembling the sidur segrei yitzim. You put the sidur segrei yitzim on there, and then he can disassemble it, and there's no chiyuv mita for him disassembling it. You just need a kohen to put it back on.
He's really backed up. He's really
right. He's chiyuv mita, but you have another zar. I'm saying come and do it. You don't have to have a kohen take apart the sidur segrei yitzim.
Take it apart.
Because what he put on the mizbeach does not qualify. You require kohanim. We saw that before. Yeah. That we require kohanim for the sidur shvei yitzim. So you have to undo it and then redo it. Exactly. Matzivla Rabbi Zera. V'chei yesh lecha avodah shekshera b'layla psula b'zar? Is there an avodah that is kshera at night and it cannot be used by a zar? So the underlying assumption here is that if the avodah is done at night, it's not really avodah. Because avodah or things to do with korbanot can only be done during the day. During the daytime, you can put on the korban. During the daytime, you can do anything to do with the mizbeach. During the night, there's nothing done on the mizbeach. Well, if there's nothing done on the mizbeach, that means that anything you do at night is not an avodah. It's not an avodah, then it shouldn't require kohen. So that's the Gemara's here. Rabbi Zera says, do you have an avodah that's kasher at night? Here, the Sidur Gishnei Gizrei Tzim is kasher at night. How do we know that it's kasher at night? Because it has to do with Trumata Deshen. They're put on the same time as the Trumata Deshen. Trumata Deshen, we already said, was already at daybreak. Meaning that Alota Shachar, already Kurota Gever, they're already doing the Trumata Deshen. That means that they're putting the Tzim on before daybreak, before they can do the Korban HaTamid. They have to wait to do the Korban HaTamid. So in that instance, why is it that you can put the Shnei Gizrei Tzim on at night, and now you're telling me it's Psula Bazar? That seems to be contradictory. One says that do it at night, the other one says don't do it with the Zar. If you can't do it with the Zar, it sounds like it's Avoda. Do it at night, it sounds like it's not Avoda. So now, velo, Vare Evarim Uptarim. So what about the Evarim Uptarim of the Korban? They're put on the Mizbeach all night. Those pieces of the Korban that were not finished up during the day, they're put on. The Gemara says, that's Sof Avoda D'Yomamahu. That's the end of the day Avoda. I mean that the avodah already took place. The zrikat adam for these korbanot was done during the previous day. The evarim and darim were brought to the mizbech, but just weren't put on the pyre. At night, you can burn them on the pyre to finish it off. That you can do. It's still connected to the daytime. So that's separate. So yeah, it is an avodah, but it's connected to the daytime. So it's not avodat laila. Vare trumata deshen. What about trumata deshen? Trumata deshen is done at night, yet it requires a kohen to do it. The Gemara says, tzilat avodah de yamamahi. That's the beginning of the avodah of the daytime. So since it's the beginning of the process of daytime, it's still connected to daytime. Yeah, it's the end of the night, but it's already the beginning of the day. And since the beginning of the day, it's already considered, quote-unquote, a day avodah, not a night avodah. D'amar Rav Asi, Rav Yochanan. We had this earlier already in the Masechta. Kidei she'adav l'tshumat ha'deshen. If he washes his hands for tshumat ha'deshen, the kohen is going to the avodah tshumat ha'deshen, he washes his hands for it. L'machar eino tzarich l'kadesh. He doesn't have to wash his hands tomorrow. Tomorrow means in a little bit of time, right? When the sun rises. Shekvar kideish mitkhilat avodah. Because he already washed his hands in the beginning of the avodah. What do you see from this? This is the beginning of the daytime avodah. It's the beginning of the daytime avodah. That's why it's not called avodat laila. Vela kasho. So that's a problem now. We have an issue here with this statement about the Sidur Shnei Gizrei Itzim. Because we do not find avodat laila that requires kohen and is done at night. Because done at night means not avodah. Requiring a kohen means yes avodah. You tried to bring me a proof from Evaradim Uptarim. We said no, that belongs to the daytime. It's the end of the day. You tried to bring me Trumat Adeshin. That's the beginning of the next day. Now earlier on in Masechta, they amended that statement of Rabbi Yochanan about Kiddush is Tchilat Avodah. It's not the Tchilah of Avodah. There the Gemara changed it to since you washed your hands for the avodah of the day, when he goes to the Tumat HaDesh, he had in mind already for the avodah of the day, not that the Tumat HaDesh was really the beginning of the day avodah. Here the Gemara does not give that answer, because the Gemara wants it to be a part of the day avodah to create a problem here for the Sidur Shnei Gizretzim. Eloki Itmar, Hochi Itmar. So now we have to have an emendation of Amar Vasi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, which is Zar Shidur Shnei Gizretzim Chayav Ho Vavudat Yomhi. They say Sidur Shnei Gizretzim is Chayav, because it's avodat yom. It's not able to be done at night. So matgal avrova, elmiata tibai pais. If it's avodat yom, why doesn't it require a lottery? I mean, it should have a separate lot for the kohanim if it is avodat yom. All the avodot of the yom have a lottery that's associated with them. So when zishtemitetei had the tanya, he forgot or it slipped out of his mind the brayta. Mi shezacha b'tshumat edeshin, zacha b'sidur maracha u'sidur shnei gizrei tzrim. That whoever won the lot for the Tumat HaDeshen also gets the ability to do the Maracha and the Sidur Shnei Gizretzim. That was an incentive to get them to come into the lots for Tumat HaDeshen, which was very early in the morning. Remember, originally they incentivized them by having a race to get there, and they thought it was in their control, so they got up early to do it. But then they threw lots. The guy goes, what do I want to get up early for? I have to lose the lottery. That doesn't make sense for me. So what do? They put a new incentive in there, which is that they give them bonuses. They get with the Tumat HaDeshen, you also get the Sidur Maracha and the Sidur Shnei Gizretzim. It was a significant avodah. So that was why they put it together. But it means there was a lottery thrown on it. But Memrad, avodat yom bayi pais, avodat layalo bayi pais. So you're telling me lotteries are only thrown for things that are done during the day, not at night? Varei, ivarim darim. What about ivarim darim? We do have a lottery for it. It says, sof avodat yom amahi. It gives the same answer we gave before, which is, it's the end of the day avodah. Varei, Tumat HaDeshen. Oh, what about Tumat HaDeshen? Why do they throw a lottery for that? Mishum Maaseh Shehayah. That's not because of whether it's Avodat Yom. It's interesting, the Gemara gives a different answer over here. The Gemara doesn't say it's Tchilat Avodat Yom, which you could have answered, but rather what does it say? It says the only reason you have a lottery about Tumat HaDeshen is because of Maaseh Shehayah. That's the beginning of our perek. The beginning of our perek was the guy broke his leg, the other guy stabbed him, meaning that there was a serious problem here that they had to rectify, and that's why they have a lottery here, not because it's necessarily avodat yom. Gemara says, "Lememra tovodat yom v'shezar chayev alei amita ba'ipais." So now the conclusion would be that if it's avodat yom and zar is chayev alei amita, which the two should come hand in hand, which means that it's avodat yom, means it's a real avoda, and therefore zar is chayev mita alei, that requires a pais. So therefore, the inference would be ein zar chayev alei amita lo ba'ipais. If zar is not chayev alei amita, then you don't need a pais. Barei shkita. What about shkita? Shkita, Zar can do, and yet it has a part of the pais. We know in the pais hasheni, mishochet, mizorek. So the shkita does have a pais associated with it, yet it's kasher be Zar. Shani shkita, dechilat avodahi. Shkita is different because it's the beginning of that avodah. It's the beginning of the processing of the korban ha-tamid. So we throw the pais on it, not because independently shkita is significant enough to throw the pais, but only because it's the entree to the whole avodat of Korban HaTamid. You need the shkita to do everything else. So therefore, they put it in part of the lots that they threw for it. All right. Amar Azutra v'imitema Ravashi v'anan lo tnan hochi. Wait a minute. We have a Mishnah that seems to not indicate that this is the case, that Sidu Shnei Gizretzim is avodat yom. Because Amar lehem ha-mimuneh, suru'u im higi azman shkita. Go out and see if it's time to do shkita at Korban HaTamid. Vilu's man shnei gizreitzim lo k'tani. Now the Sidur Shnei Gizretzim doesn't say, go check and see if it's early enough now, I mean it's morning, in order to do the Sidur Shnei Gizretzim. It only says, let's make sure that it's daybreak to do the Korban HaTamid. Right, if that's the case, sounds like that Shnei Gizretzim is not the avodat yom. It sounds like it could be done even before the yom. Otherwise, why wouldn't the Kohen, when they're going to check, make sure that it's really daybreak, why wouldn't he say, go make sure it's daybreak so we can put the two Gizreitzim on the Mizbeach? Why is he only saying about Shkitata Tamid? Tumar says, that's a very easy answer. Hach, delet leita kanta, k'tani. Hach, delet leita kanta, lo k'tani. Shkitata Korban Tamid, you can't rectify. If you shecht it too early, then you can't go back and put it back together and then do another Shkita. It's done. What's done is done. And therefore, you need to really know that it's daybreak. By Sidur Shnei Gizreitzim, we put it on the Mizbeach. It's a mistake. Just take it off and put it back on. It's not an issue. So since you can rectify that, they didn't worry about daybreak. The Gemara is going to tell us later on the reason that they worried about daybreak is they once made a mistake. They once made a mistake that the moon was so bright that they thought it was Alot HaShachar, they thought it was already daybreak, and they began the Avodah in the Mikdash. Then they finally realized, oh, it wasn't really daybreak, and they had done everything prior to daybreak. So because of that, it was all Pasul. Now, given that information, they said, from now on, they have to check. They asked the guy to go up the top to double check that it really was daybreak and it wasn't the moonlight. Anyway, it's a precautionary measure. They had a mistake one time. Because of that Maaseh Shaya, they changed the whole process or procedure in the Mikdash. But that, again, is a precautionary measure. So that precautionary measure, I'm going to be very sure by the Shechita, because that's an irreversible type of Navoda. And then by Sidur Gznei Gizrei Tzim, where 99% of the time they got it right anyway, so why bother to check, and you can fix it. If you did something wrong, just take it off and put it back on. So that's the worst scenario that you would come to. So the precautionary measure is not really relevant or necessary for the Sidur Shnei Gizrei Tzim. It's really relevant or necessary for the Shechita. And that's why it's not included in that call to the person who is saying, is it daybreak? He's worried about Shechita, which is the irreversible part of this. All right, so now we're going to stop. There's an Ikadamri over here, which gets very involved, goes to the end of the parak, and there's a big tumult about the Girsaot here and what exactly should be done. So we'll do that tomorrow. It's another Lashon for exactly what we went through here today. Very similar Gemara. So again, the conclusion of the Gemara here is, number one, we had all of these words, Kohanim, that are extra in the Pasuk to teach us. The first Kohen to teach us that only Mikabalah Ve'elech is Mitzvah Kohanah Shechita can be done by a Zar. We had the fact that Nubin Aron Kohen Shalom Mizbeach teaches you that even Eish requires Kohanim, even though that's not an integral part of the Kapara. Then we had Vikriva Kohen Etokto Viktir HaMizbecha. That Kohen is to teach us that Holachat Eravarim requires Kohen, Holachat Eitzim does not require a Kohen. Then Viktir HaKohen Etokto HaMizbecha, that was extraneous, and therefore it taught us that Hefshed V'nituach does not require a Kohen. V'chu B'nei Aron Kohenim Etetachim V'Terosh Etepadol Eitzim HaShel Eish Shalom Mizbeach. That entire pasuk was extraneous. The teaches that you need six kohanim to work with the tamid shel shachar, with the korban tamid of a tzleh, or korban olah of a tzleh. So that's what we learned from all those psukim. The Gemara then moved on to the next scenario or stage, which was, okay, let's understand this sidur shnei gizei tzim, you tell me it requires kohanim, means it's an avoda. Well, if it's an avoda, then zar shi sidur tamaracha is chayav. He's going to be chayav because it's an avodah. But then, why are you doing it at nighttime? The Gemara in the end says, it's not at nighttime. You have to do it during the day. Because we have to be consistent. If it's going to be an avodah, it must be done during the day. And as Arabi chayav mitah, you can't have a kohen. So that's the Gemara's conclusion. The Gemara then says, based on the flow of the Gemara, well, if that means that it's during the day, and Azar is chayav mitah for it, are those the only items that require a pious? Those are the only things that require a lottery. The Gemara then questions from Shechita, why does Shechita then require a lottery? So the Gemara answered that Shechita is the beginning of the process of the Korban, and therefore it's okay to require a pious for it, even though it is Kshera Bizar. And then the last part of the Gemara deals with, well, is it really true that it has to be during the day? Because we don't have it mentioned in those Avodot that they waited exactly for daybreak. Where it says that's because it's reversible, something that can be rectified, and therefore you don't need to have an exact check and a precautionary measure taken, because if we did it wrong, we just fix it. Okay, that was a summary of the Gemara that we saw today.